for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 13th, 2001. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the teacher of the afternoon. This is tape one of two tapes of the afternoon service.
Lord, I confess to you, Lord, the sin of starting the last service without praying for you, but without asking, Lord God, that you empower us, Lord God. For we depend entirely upon you, Lord God. We can do no good thing without you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you. We come to you now and we ask you, Lord, to empower us by the anointing of your Spirit, Lord God. Let your Spirit come forth and touch us, Lord God. Let your word go forth. Let it be your word that goes forth, Lord, and touches the hearts. Touch the heart, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
I wanted to talk to you today about magic. Actually, the power of the occult. When we speak of magic. Now, I'm not talking about the sleight of hand artist that you always think about when you think about a magic show. I'm talking about biblical magic. And let me read to you Webster's definition of magic. This has come out of Webster. Magic is defined by Webster's New World Dictionary as the use of charms, spells, and rituals in seeking to control people or to cause or control events or govern certain natural or supernatural forces. Now, this is divided into three types. First type is sorcery. Sorcery implies magic in which spells are cast or charms are used. Also, drugs, potions, musical elements, or talismans are used to achieve the desired result. A talisman is something such as a ring or stone bearing an engraved image or symbol that's supposed to bring good luck, keep away evil, and so forth. I used to have a talisman. I kept it on my key ring. It was a round silver medal about this big, and it was an engraved picture of an old man with a staff. And as long as I kept that, it was supposed to keep me from having an accident in my car when I was traveling. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. That's a talisman. That is a sorcery symbol, because that symbol is supposed to protect you. The same can be said for a lucky penny, rabbit's foot, a wishbone, a four-leaf clover. All of those things are talismans because you look to them to protect you. You say, well, I really didn't believe it. I just cared for fun. Really? I hope you enjoyed it, because you cursed yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. That's what you did. You carried that thing around. You gave the enemy a right to attack you and your children to the fourth generation. That's what the Bible says, and that is true. Now, that's sorcery. It also uses drugs. Alcohol. You know what the Greek word sorcery is? Pharmakomichi. A pharmak or something or other. They said about me in high school, I could torment one cool word 10,000 ways. But it is from that word we get pharmacy. It's the study of drugs. And the ancient sorcerers used atropine, was a common one. Morphine, opium, and all sorts of mind-altering drugs. to lower your will. They use music to call up the demons. Brother Golden can tell you that in the jungles, the primitive people will use the drums to call up the evil spirits. And it's the same rhythm you hear today in acid rock. Music will open you to those things. Okay. So that's sorcery. The other division is witchcraft for women or wizardry for men. This implies the possession of supernatural power by compact with evil spirits using curses and rituals. Now, those are the two power portions of magic. The third is divination. The other use of the occult to obtain supernatural knowledge about past events which would not otherwise have access, or to events which will occur in the future. This is done through divination. Astrology, contact with familiar spirits, or by contacting the dead. Any effort to obtain knowledge through supernatural means apart from the Holy Spirit is absolutely forbidden by Scripture. And so, when you come into magic, when you're trying... Now, Derek Prince says that witchcraft, that there are three words that sum up witchcraft: intimidation, manipulation, domination. Men, being larger, tend to intimidate just by their natural size. You don't want to make him mad because God knows what he's going to do. So you give him his way. I had this one man look like he was big enough to play fullback for the Green Bay Packers, you know. A huge man. I was praying for him because he had trouble with anger. And I said, your problem is that you've always used anger to manipulate people around you. He said, well, nobody ever wanted me mad. When I started getting mad, they generally gave me what I wanted. That's witchcraft. I mean, just his physical appearance was intimidating to me when I looked at him. And I said, Lord, I thank you that I'm standing in you, and that you are my shield and buckler. And when that thing threw him down, I was able to hold him on the floor with one finger in the spirit. He couldn't move. Now, there's not enough men in this room to have held that demon down in the natural. Amen. Now, you remember the seven scones of Sceva? There were seven of them, and a man on whom had the demon fell upon them, and they fled from the room naked and wounded. He stripped them all and threw them out of the room. And didn't say he was a big man. Okay, so that's what Derek Prince says about witchcraft. Witchcraft is that man had a demon of anger. And if he didn't get his way, he let that demon manifest. And it scared people to death. They generally got out of his way. Women, being somewhat smaller, tend to manipulate. And that's called Jezebel. She has many names. The one that you're most familiar with is Jezebel. There's Taintai, who was the Phoenician goddess and generally associated with child sacrifice. Don't ask me how to spell, man.
Say it again.
Taintai. The happiest day in my life, I can still remember it. It was in the 10th grade. They said, Billy, you won't have to take spelling anymore. The sun came out, the birds chirped, the wind blew in my... Oh, I was just... My son told me about my granddaughter. Said, Dad, she's your granddaughter. She's got your gift. Oh, God forbid, let me pray for her. Let me pray that God will give her wisdom. They said about me in high school, I could torment one poor word 10,000 ways because I was totally tone deaf. And I had a learning disability that I inherited from my grandfather. I prayed over my grandchildren that they wouldn't inherit it. My children that they wouldn't inherit it. My grandchildren that they wouldn't inherit it. Came down from the curse of being, from the Masonic curse. I had an uncle that couldn't read the newspaper. Another one who couldn't read above a second grade level. They could do lots of other things. They couldn't read. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. And we're getting far afield here.
I want to talk to you today about magic. Did you know that your birthright is rejection? Did you know that? Your birthright is rejection. It says so in Ezekiel chapter 16. Let's look at that. And you say, what's that got to do with magic? Well, I'll show you. And the word of God came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem, the church, to know her abominations. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem. And remember that the Jerusalem above is the mother of you all. Paul tells you that very clearly in Galatians. That Jerusalem above is the mother of you all. So cause Jerusalem to know her abomination. You're her children. Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your birth and your nativity were from the land of Cana. That means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. Amorite is terror, is pride, and Hittite is terror of fear. And so your mother was fear. Your father was pride. On the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, were you nor not rubbed with salt, nor swathed with swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, have compassion on you, but you were thrown into an open field, and you were loathed on the day you were born. Now that is utter rejection, people. You were utterly rejected. But then Jesus said, and when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live. I said to you, live. And that is the day that you were chosen for salvation before the foundation of the world. God in his foreknowledge chose you then. It says so in Ephesians and 1 Peter. You can read it. It's in the first verse, the first and second verse of Ephesians, and the first and second verse of 1 Peter. It's there for you to read. You were chosen before the foundation of the earth. I made you thrive like a plant in the field. You grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew. You were bare and naked. And when I passed you again and looked at you, and indeed, your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you, covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, said the Lord, and that was the day of salvation. He spread his wing over you and covered you, and you were no longer naked. When did you become naked? When did you become naked? Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve are in the garden. Satan comes as a serpent. And it says in Revelation that Satan was the serpent of old. Satan comes as a serpent. He tempts her. And she rejects the word of God and rebels. God told her not to eat the fruit. She rejected that. That was the outward sign. She rejected the word of God. And her outward sign was she reached out and took the fruit and she ate it. And what happened to them? They became naked. Now, Psalm 104 tells you that God covers himself with light. Most Bible commentators will tell you that they believe Adam and Eve were covered with light as God was until they fell. Then they knew, when the covering of light was gone, they knew they were naked. What does it say? He said, the man says, okay. And when the eyes of both of them were opened, they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And then they hid themselves from God. And look at verse 10. And so when I heard your voice in the garden, I was afraid. Fear came in. So the natural sequence of following rejection is fear. The outward sign of rejection is rebellion. Do you follow that? Eve rebelled and ate the fruit. She was deceived. So she ate the fruit because she was deceived. But Timothy, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy that Adam was not. Am I on over there?
Yes.
Adam. Okay. Adam was not deceived, but he ate the fruit anyway. So he said, I'm going with my wife. He rebelled against God. And so your father Adam rebelled against God. He rejected God's law, and he rebelled. He fell, and your birthright since that day has been rejection. Until Jesus Christ spread his wing over you at salvation and made a covenant with you, and you became accepted. In him we have redemption. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. And you have been made accepted in the beloved. You've been accepted. You're not rejected anymore. You're an accepted child of God. You're a member of the family of God. He's given you a new family. You've got God as your father. Jesus Christ is your big brother. By the law of the goal. You know what that is? The Redeemer kinsman. The Hebrew law says if a man ran his business so poor that he was sold to the enemy, to the foreigner, living in the land, the kinsman who could pay the price must go and redeem him. And he shall be his servant until the year of Jubilee. Jesus Christ, your kinsman redeemer, your big brother, went and paid the price and bought you back, and you are his. You are his possession. But he said in Hosea, there comes a day when I will no longer call you master, but I will call you husband. You're the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're betrothed. You know what betrothal means? Under Hebrew law, a marriage contract was made. It was made when the child was born, a very shortly after. It could be broken, but there were some financial consequences for the marriage contract to be broken. But when you became of age, you were betrothed. And that was a marriage ceremony, and you were considered man and wife. But you didn't get to sleep together or live together. The bridegroom went home and left his bride. But that was the reason you heard people say a widow in her virginity. The husband got killed before he ever came back and got her. And then the bridegroom will come back unannounced with a great bridal, with a great possession to claim his bride.
Amen.
That's the reason the virgins are still waiting for the bridegroom. We're waiting for Jesus to come back. But you are the bride of Christ. You're not rejected. You're not a rejected child. You're a child of the living God. You're the body of Christ.
He said, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? You persecute a believer. You're persecuting Jesus Christ. Part of it. And Jesus feels it, feels it. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. That includes the head. He is the head, you are the body. And when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. He is the head, he hurts. Now, 1 Samuel says, 1 Samuel 15:21 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, some translations say witchcraft. Some translations say divination. But the word in the Hebrew is an all-inclusive word, which means the magic arts. So, the outward sign of rejection is to rebel. You reject. When you've been rejected, when rejection comes into you, it brings fear in with you, with it. And with the fear comes sexual impurity. You turn to the world, so denial of love. And so you turn to the world for love. And the world's thing of love is lust. And since you're rejected, then you have to control your circumstances around you.
to feel secure. You've got that fear in you, and to feel secure, you must control everything around you so nothing bad will happen, and you fall into witchcraft and sorcery and the occult. And today we're going to talk about magic, which is an outward manifestation of being rejected. There's anybody in this room has never felt rejection. I want you to hold up your hand. Everyone has been subject to rejection one way or another. And the outward sign of rejection is to rebel and to try to control the situation around us. Now, you have to understand that rebellion and bitterness come from the same Hebrew root, mara. And so if you're in rebellion, you will become bitter. And if you stay bitter long enough, you will rebel. What is bitterness? It's suppressed anger and rage and unforgiveness. Anger is nothing but suppressed unforgiveness. I don't intend to talk about unforgiveness today. I will talk about unforgiveness and bitterness tomorrow. But I want to talk today about trying to manipulate other people. This is absolutely forbidden by the Word of God. And I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Please open your Bibles and turn. I can tell you it says this, but I want you to look at it. If I tell you, 20% of you will remember it. If you open your Bible and read it, 50% of you will remember it. But if you open your Bible and read it and make a note about it, 80% of you will remember it. That's one of the reasons we make tapes, so you can go back over it. Deuteronomy 18:9 says, "When you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found anyone among you who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire," that's child sacrifice or abortion, "or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or interpreter of omens, or sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or medium, or spiritualist, one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to God." Now, you understand, at the start of this verse, he said, these things are abominations to God. But at the end of the verse, he says, those who do these things become an abomination to God. And what is an abomination? It's a stench in his nostrils is what it literally means. There are three words for abomination, and they all mean it stinks in his nose. "And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives him out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God." Okay, now let's look at verse 14. Says, "The nations which you dispossess listen to soothsayers and diviners, but for you the Lord has not appointed such. The Lord will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. Him you shall hear." Now the Mohammedans, or the followers of Islam, will tell you that this prophet is Mohammed. They will point out this verse to you and say that that is a prophecy of Mohammed. But if you read Acts 7, Stephen says, Acts 7:37, Stephen says that that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, on his speech in Acts 4, I think, after raising the crippled man at the beautiful gate, he said that man, that prophet, was the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's twice identified as the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the prophet. You remember when they came, they sent messengers to John the Baptist. They said, "Are you the prophet that was to come?" And they said, "Are you the Messiah, the prophet?" He said, "You will lean on Jesus Christ. He sent the Holy Spirit to you, through whom you may manifest supernatural power, through the gifts of the Spirit. You are not to use the tools of the devil." Well, what are these tools of the devil? Well, I made a list of them. I can sit and talk about them, but I just want to make sure I cover them all. Now, in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, are the works of the flesh. And witchcraft is listed as a work of the flesh. There are lots of things there listed as works of the flesh that are also demons. But if you yield to that work of the flesh, if you routinely manipulate people or routinely intimidate people, a spirit of witchcraft, you are practicing witchcraft. That puts you under a curse, and a spirit of witchcraft will come into you. And you will find it becomes easier and easier to intimidate people because you use that spirit of witchcraft. And then suddenly you don't have any control. That spirit will control you. The more you use it and the more you lean on it, the more you worship it, serve it, the more powerful it will become in your life to the point you cannot control it anymore. It will control you. The witchcraft is a work of the flesh that can become a demonic force that enters your life. You can also, through the sins of the fathers, if witchcraft is one of the spirits that is assigned to your family line, then those spirits will be there. They can come into you in the mother's womb from the sins of the fathers. My great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather, was an Indian shaman. That's a witch doctor. I was the chosen one. I was the one that had all the supernatural ability. He sold my soul to the devil before I was born, I was told. I was in a prayer meeting one day and standing there, and Brother Joe Williams was there, and it's the first time I'd ever met Joe. I didn't know anything about him. Only I'd been introduced to him as Dr. Noel, and he told me I was welcome to stay and observe. But he pointed me out. He said, your great-great-great-grandfather was a Choctaw Indian shaman, and he sold your soul to the devil before you were born. He says, you won't be free? And I used to stand up and praise God, and I did, and I tell you, all kind of things happened. All kind of things happened, you know. And the next day, the nurses at the hospital said, what happened to you? What do you mean? He said, you're different. You're not the same person. You're not as manipulative. You're not as angry. He said, you're different. You've got something's wrong. Something's different about you. He said, well, I had the devil cast out of me last night. They said, yeah, we agree with that. There was no argument. They said, yes. And I went back and studied. My mother had forbidden me to check the genealogy while she was alive. So after she was dead, I went back. She told me I could do it after she was dead. So I went back and I checked, and it was all true. It was all there. But I was set free. Now, I had lots of fights to get set free. I won't go into all of them. But praise you, Lord God. Now, how do you, a husband can manipulate, it can dominate his wife. A wife can manipulate her husband. They both can dominate and manipulate their children. There's a very fine line between parental discipline, godly parental discipline, and witchcraft control of the children. You have to pray always before God. You've got to remember, does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? And you have to walk that line and say, God, show me. I had to repent of a lot of things I did with my children. I had to repent and ask forgiveness. I had to go to my children and ask them to please forgive me. Okay. Witchcraft. Sorcery. Now, sorcery is the use of drugs and talents and potions. And through this, this is the portion that the voodoo doctor fits in. Now, the voodoo, or the hoodoo, or the shaman, will sell potions. He'll put things in this thing, and he'll sell you, go to him, and he'll sell you a potion to bring about a desired effect. I remember so well, the one I remember was that this young lady went to Harry S., and she asked Harry, she wanted this man to marry her. And Harry said, bring me some of your menstrual blood. Bring me a piece of your menstrual cloth. And so she carried in a piece of a menstrual cloth with the blood on it. And Harry put that in a potion with some other stuff and gave it to her. Said, put it in his coffee and have him drink it. She did. And a spirit of lust came into that man. He had to have her. So he married her. That's sorcery. Brother Norman Parrish tells about the time that the witch doctors broke into his church. They stole the clock off the wall, the collection plate, and one of the draperies up front, at the front of the church. That represented the time, the collections, and the worship. And they bound it up with a bunch of voodoo stuff, and they buried it outside the church. And he said they came and they found the church had been broken into and these things were missing. But he said after that they noted that people were no longer prompt for the service. They began becoming in tardy and late, and something they'd always had was promptness. And in South America, to get people to be prompt is a difficult thing. That's not in their nature to be prompt in Central America. And he noticed the tithes began to drop off and there was no anointing on the worship. As they begin to praise and worship God, and so they call for a prayer and fasting, and someone had a vision of these people breaking in and burying this thing out by the telephone pole across the street. So they went out, dug it up, there it all was. And they burned all this stuff, along with the voodoo stuff that was mixed in with it. He said there was an orange peeling, and there was a toothpick stuck through it, and some other stuff. He wasn't sure what it was, and he just took it all out and burned it. And when they burned it, the thing was broken over the church. And don't ask me to explain it. I just relate the story to you. Brother Parrish, as I said this morning, is one of the fathers of the faith in the deliverance movement in Central America. He's a fine man, not a man that would exaggerate or misrepresent the truth. That happened. That's the power of witchcraft and voodoo. So sorcery, you get a number of voodoo doctors and they get something like that, you have to fight them in the spirit. And that's what they did. They went to prayer and fasting and fought them in the spirit and defeated them. That is sorcery. You make aliments, you make charms, you have talisman. I once had a lady that worked for me who was a practicing witch. And she buried this thing in my home, an anchor in my home. And all sorts of strange things started happening. And so we went through the house and we found it. Something she made my wife promise that she'd never get rid of. I took it out and burned it. And the spell over the house was broken. And fired this lady. Then we had to stand. We really had to stand when we fired her because she got all the witches in town praying against us. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, next comes divination. Let's look at talismans first. What are some of the talismans that you can have in your house? Okay, first, religious medals. There's a medal of Semiramis and the infant. It's the Babylonian god Semiramis and the infant. Talist. I can't pronounce it. It won't come out. But you all know that what the mother, the picture of the mother holding the baby, that has come down from Babylonians, came down from Babylonian into Egypt as Iris, and into Phoenician, Canaanite culture, and then it was just come into the Christian culture. Worship of the mother baby. You can have one of those. You can have a Mexican sun god. And you all seen the little round thing with the starburst on it, you know, with the thing sticking his tongue out? That's an Aztec god. It's a Mexican calendar, but it's an Aztec god on it. A Buddha? Y'all got any Buddhas in your house? You know who Buddha is? He's a god. Okay? You know the little piece of gold, you know that little gold wiggly looking thing that you hang on a chain? called a leprechaun's leg and an Italian horn. That means I depend on the devil for my finances. Or good luck charms like four-leaf clovers, rabbit's foot, horseshoes, wishbones, lucky penny, and other good luck charms. A copper ring and bracelets, which are supposed to bring healing and good luck. You know who luck is? He's the Egyptian god of good fortune. Got a hexagram. What's a hexagram? That's a six-pointed star. Hex, what's a hex? It's a curse. Hexagram. The six-pointed star, also called the Star of David now. David never saw that star. It came into use in the Zionist movement in the late 1800s. But it's on Israel's flag. But it's a witchcraft symbol. I see Christians wearing it. They think it's religious. The pentagram, the hexagram is also used by Kabbalah as the tree of life. What's Kabbalah? That's Jewish witchcraft. Zodiac symbols. And y'all got any zodiac symbols in you? Around you? You know, signs of the zodiac? Where does it say that the zodiac is demonic? You mean that reading the horoscope is demonic? I don't believe it, you know. I just read it for fun. Won't see what it says. I don't really believe it. Oh, you don't. A lot of women tell me this, you know. I just read it for fun and see what it's going to say. That's fine. Hope you enjoy it, because every time you read it, you're cursing yourself and your children and your great-grandchildren. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? It does. Let's look at Isaiah. Stop a minute and let's go back over to Isaiah. Isaiah 47, verse 13. Starting in the middle of the verse. Now let the astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly pronosticators stand up and save you from these things which come upon you. Behold, they shall be as stubble, and the fire shall burn them, and they shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It says, stargazers and monthly pronosticators. Those are, yes, your astrologers. That's your astrology, it's your horoscope. There's a fire will burn them up. Okay? An Egyptian anchor. Ankara, you know what that is? That's a cross with a little loop on top of it. That's the Egyptian goddess to fertility and lust. A lot of people wear those as crosses. You got a heart, you know, Cupid. Who was Cupid? Cupid is shown with the arrow shooting it into the heart. Sign of love. Who was Cupid? Goddess of lust. The arrow represents is a phallic symbol. Y'all know what a phallic symbol is? It's a male sex organ. Into the, that's a female, so the heart is a female sex organ. That's what Cupid is. You want a heart in your family? You're inviting lust in. Jade? You wear jade? The Buddhists teach that jade, if you wear jade long enough, it becomes part of your soul. And so when you leave, you give people the part of your jade, and you're leaving part of your soul with them. The devil a legal right. You wear jade. Well, I didn't know that. Really? Well, you go over to England, and you're driving down the road, and you're driving on the right side of the road when you're supposed to be driving on the left, and you run into somebody, and you say, well, I've been over in America, and we drive on the right side of the road. I didn't know you're supposed to drive on the left side, or vice versa. I can't remember now. But you think that man's not going to give you a ticket? You've violated the law. You're on the wrong side of the road. He's going to extract a penalty from you. Peace symbols. You've all seen the peace symbol with the circle with the broken cross in it. That's an ancient witchcraft symbol, a symbol of the broken cross. It's called the peace symbol now. It's a witchcraft symbol. You've seen the dollar bill. It's got that eye on it. You go into Masonism and you see the eye of masonry. That's the eye of Hornus. It's an all-seeing eye. That's a satanic symbol. Some people feel that your birthstones are demonic. I don't know any scripture for that, though. Masonic symbols. Masonic symbols are worshiping, you're worshiping another god. So, well, no, Masonism, just a club. But why do they call it the Masonic Temple? If you are inducted into Masonism, you take terrible oaths. And one of them is that if you observe a fellow Mason committing a crime, you will not report it. Murder and treason accepted at your discretion. That's your oath. What does the Bible say? So you see a crime, report it. In direct violation of Scripture there. That's just one place that comes to mind. Frog and symbols. Frogs. Creatures of the night. Owls. Sister Irma will tell you about owls. Owls are the unclean creatures, creatures of the night. Shouldn't have them in your household. Crystals, pyramids, hex signs. What are they? Eastern star signs. I belonged to a fraternity when I was in college. And I said, Lord, show me if that was demonic. They quoted the Bible during the initiation ceremony. Show me if that was demonic, Lord. And he brought back the formal initiation, which I had been for 20-some years. And he said, do you remember when they took you into that room? And they put that draped you with that sheet? And they hung that chain around you? The dead, but you went in this room with your underwear on, and they put this sheet around you. And then they put a trace chain. You know what a trace chain is? Anybody know what a trace chain is? That's part of a chain you use when you're plowing. It was very common back when I was in college, and so they'd have this trace chain they got out at the junk, down at the junkyard, and they tied together a piece of string, and they draped it around me, and it was over here and draped around me, and I walked in there with a chain, and they said, now the bonds of the fraternal bonds, in the name of the fraternity, break the bonds of the chains of bondage, and they cut the string, and the chain fell off. And he said, who breaks the chains of bondage? I said, well, Jesus Christ does. That paternal order doesn't set you free from the chains of bondage. Jesus Christ sets you free. It's a false deliverer. I had one young lady, it was him, that had been in a sorority. And she said, I asked her, have you been in a sorority? And she began to weep. And she said, yes, when I went to college, I'd been rejected all my life, and that was the first place I'd ever been really accepted. Those girls accepted me. They accepted me when my family and no one else had ever accepted me. And that was my family for 4 years. And they gave me a feeling of self-worth. They built me up, and I was able to... I said, well, fine, that's wonderful. I said, at the Milesian of Prayer, and I say, if there's anything ungodly in the oaths you took when you joined the sorority, you rebuke them right now. And so she started that, and she had trouble saying, said, there's something in me that screams, no, 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 don't say it. I said, well, I think there's something ungodly in you and don't want to come out that's related to that sorority. What do you think? And so after a little encouragement, she said it, and the demon came out. She wept bitter tears. I told her it didn't mean that she couldn't have friends, be friends with those girls, but she just had to realize that that sorority didn't set her free, that Jesus Christ set her free. Okay. Praise your Lord God. And so now we've talked about witchcraft. We've talked about sorcery. Now, sorcery is the use of drugs and music. Now, the drugs can be alcohol. They can be peyote. They can be atropine, or any number of mind-bending drugs to bend you to the will of a sorcerer. God did not give you a spirit of fear, a bondage again to fear. But he says a spirit of adoption into your heart. Now remember that fear came in with rejection, and you were in bondage to fear. Hebrews chapter 2, around verse 13 and 14, says that all of your life you have lived in fear of death. He came to defeat him who had the power of death, the devil, to free you from the fear of death, the bondage of the fear of death. And so he came to set you free from bondage, but there are other kinds of bondage other than the bondage to fear that's related to rejection. Bondage to alcohol. Anything that will bend your mind and deaden your sense of hurt. Bondage to alcohol, bondage to any type of mind-bending drug. Alcohol, then you've got Valium, and then you've got Percodan, and you have just a whole group now of chemicals that people use that they come in bondage to. And one of the most common ones is nicotine. Why did you know why I started smoking? I smoked 25 years. You know why I started smoking? Because my mother told me I could, and I showed her. It took me 25 years to get rid of nicotine. When I got saved, God set me free from drinking alcohol and cursing and a lot of other things. But cigarettes took 5 years of laying on my face saying, oh, God, deliver me. And when he delivered me, I got free from cigarettes. I quit for a year and gained 20 pounds. And I quit for 6 months, and my wife told me I was so irritable, just start smoking again because she couldn't live with me. But when God set me free, all those things disappeared, and the nicotine went with it. That's bondage to nicotine. And so bondage, you have bondage to witchcraft, bondage to fear, bondage to drugs, bondage, the spirit of bondage.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.